good to be free, to be set free. And Father, thank you. You didn't leave us in darkness, but you transferred us out of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. You translated us and took us from darkness and placed us into your marvelous light. And Father God, it just feels so good to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And Father God, we just thank you and bless you. And as the scripture said, we draw water with joy from the well of salvation. And when we think about where we were, when we think about what we were going through, when we think about how lost we were, when we think about how the enemy had his hands on us, he'd say, go do that, we'd run and do it. He'd say, go do that, we'd run and do it. When we think about the enemy's tyranny over us day after day, year after year, then came that remarkable day or that night, whatever it was. Oh, when you put your hand on his and said, take your hand off of my child. Woo! And you put a robe of righteousness on us. And you put a ring of authority on our hand. Hallelujah. Redeemed, how we love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being redeemed. In fact, Father God, the greatest thing that's ever happened to us is when we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It'll never get old. It'll never get boring to tell. It'll never get too old to shout at, to shout to. It'll never get too old to dance a jig. It'll never get too old to lift our hands, magnify you. It'll never get too old to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You saved me. You saved me. You saved me. Yes, you did. You saved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was lost, but you saved me. Woo! You saved me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It'll never get old. It'll never get old. Hey, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It'll never get old. It'll never get old. I said, Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Woo! It'll never get old. It'll never get old. And so, Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful. You've been so good. And when we think about how good you've been, and Father, we know in and of ourselves we didn't deserve it, but you've caused Jesus, you gave us his righteousness, you made us worthy through the blood, and we're so glad to be robed in righteousness tonight. Our righteousness is not in question. You have made us righteous. Glory to God. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And thank you, Father God, for what you've done. Thank you that tonight we're seated in a position of authority in Christ. Thank you. Thank you for our redemptive realities in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. When we were outside of Christ, when we didn't know the Lord, when we were without hope, the enemy could defeat us all day. He could defeat us all night. Oh, but that has all changed now. There's no more defeat for us. Now tonight we walk in overwhelming victory. Just overwhelming victory because of who we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in victory tonight. And thank you tonight that greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. Thank you. It'll never get old. Thank you. And so thank you, Father, for blessing your word tonight. Your magnificent word. And Father, we just can't help but think about your mighty power to deliver us. Over and over again, we've been in circumstance and situations, but then over and over again, we called out to you in the name of the Lord with a scripture on our tongue, with the power of the word in our mouth. And you delivered us again and then again and then again and then again. And some right here, Father God, some right here in this place have heard a doctor say, I can't help you anymore. Have seen a doctor shake his head or her head and say, there's no help for you. We can't help you. But oh, they called on Dr. Jesus. And here they are alive and well in this place tonight. Because you touched them. Because you healed them. Because you set them free by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus, you're a mighty, awesome deliverer. Hallelujah. You're our delivering God. Hallelujah. And then there are some who were bound by the enemy. Demonic forces oppressing. Demonic forces. Some here, someone here, maybe you used to be possessed by the devil. Oh, but came that glorious day and you found out that there's a greater power. You can't even compare the power of God to any other power, and God set you totally free. Father, there are people in here tonight been delivered and set free, totally free. Totally free. Some people in here were bound by fear, and you set them totally free from fear in this place tonight, Father God. And so you're a mighty deliverer over and over again. And yet the Bible says a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah. And there's never been a situation presented that you cannot deliver us from, that you cannot set us free from. We want to thank you. Sing it again. We want to thank you and honor you.
And hallelujah. Oh, praise the hallelujah. One who
come on,
paid my debt.
Come on,
and raises
come on, tell
my
it.
Love.
Hallelujah. Nobody can tell it like you can tell it.
The one
he set you free.
Who paid my
debt.
And raises
my totally free. Hallelujah.
Love.
Totally free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And
hallelujah.
His life
hallelujah.
From the dead.
Glory to God.
Oh, praise the one
hallelujah.
Who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
And so we thank you for your mighty power. We thank you for the great helper tonight, the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for your presence in this place. Even now, you're touching people as they, where they stand, where they sit. You're touching people, moving up and down, in and out of this congregation, moving among those watching online, live stream, some other way, listening. You're moving. You're touching people. Father, listening to the sound of my voice, you're touching people. And so, Father, we thank you, honor you. Now, with these moments we have with the Word, then help us to direct this Word correctly. And Father God, in the way that you would deem fit. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you for the unction and utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can have your seat. Hallelujah. Let us thank our worship team. Hallelujah. Just anointed people, band and frontline singers. Just anointed folk. Well, I'm not going to apologize for the way we started this sermon.
Amen.
Our Savior, there's nobody who can even compare to our Lord Jesus. He's a risen Savior. He's not a dead Savior. I said he's a risen Savior. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad? We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. And he's alive. Glory to God. He is alive. The resurrection is the greatest fact in all of human history. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. And the Bible says, the Lord my God, in the midst of me, he's a mighty God. And the Bible says, if two or three are gathered together in my name, God said this, there I am in the midst of them. He's right here in our midst, a mighty God. And he's worthy. And salvation ought not ever get old to you and I. Sometimes, you know, when you've been born again a few years, people just let that go, oh, ho-hum, ho-hum, you know, oh, glad to be saved. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But salvation is the greatest thing that ever happened to you if you're born again. And we ought not ever let it get old. Hallelujah. For a few moments in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I'm reading from the New American Standard. I'm going to start at verse 5 when you get there. Acts chapter 27. When you get there, say amen. Acts 27. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
When we had sailed through the sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us on board it. And when we had sailed slowly for a good many days, and with difficulty had arrived off Cnidus. Since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamone, and with difficulty sailing past it, we came to the place called Fair Havens. Everybody say Fair Havens. Near which was the city of Lycia. And when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. And when a moderate south wind came up, supposing they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called a Euroquillo, and when the ship was caught in it, it could not face the wind. We gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control, and after they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, fearing that they might run aground. On the shallows of Sardis, they let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo, and on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands, last verse, verse 20, and since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Now, this is obviously a story of Paul's voyage to Rome. And Paul, you know, he was on his way to Rome. He was a prisoner. And the reason that he's going to Rome is that part of the story is told in Acts 25. And in Acts 25, Paul is on trial before Governor Festus and King Agrippa. And but in the days preceding his conversation with Festus and Agrippa before before Governor Festus, Paul had requested what a Roman citizen had, only the Roman citizen had a right to do, and that was to have his case appealed to Caesar. That is, Festus heard the case, and Festus asked him before he heard the case, "Are you willing to go?" They were up in Caesarea, which was a Roman outpost for the soldiers. They had taken Paul up there because of the death threats against his life as a prisoner down in Jerusalem. And so Festus asked him, "Are you willing to go down to Jerusalem and face your peers and face trial there?" And Paul said, "No, I'm not willing to go back to Jerusalem. I'm a Roman citizen. Send me to Caesar." And Festus said, "You know, you've appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." That's how he got on board the ship. The storm that raged had been out of his control from the beginning. And really, just to expand just a little further, after Festus and then King Agrippa hear Paul speak, Agrippa says, "It's a shame that he appealed to Caesar, because this man should be set free. He didn't do anything wrong." Almost looked like Paul made a mistake. You understand what I'm saying in the sequence of events? Paul had been in Jerusalem. They're trying to kill him. They transfer him to Caesarea. At Caesarea, Festus hears his case, and Festus asks him, "Are you willing to go down to Jerusalem and face your peers?" He says, "No, send me to Caesar." Well, now they've got to go from Caesarea Philippi. They've got to go to Rome. That means he's going to have to catch ships over there. It's a long voyage to Rome. And when he gets on the ship, I mean, they nearly lost their lives. Hadn't been for the Lord, they would all die. 276 people on board that big freighter, that big ship, 276 souls on board that ship. And they would have all lost their lives had not been for the Lord. The Lord spared Paul and said, "Paul, don't fear. I'm going to spare you and everybody with you." He's a delivering God. when it looks like all hope is gone, when it looks like all hope is lost, when the doctor turned and shake his head at you, God is still there. And I said, he's a delivering God. You can be broke as you want to be, but if you'll turn to the Lord and do what the Lord's telling you, you won't stay broke. I said, he's a delivering God. You can have trouble and affliction on every side, but if you'll call out to the Lord and do what he tells you to do, he's a delivering God, and you won't stay captive to anybody. He'll set you free. I said, he's a mighty healer. He's a savior. He's a deliverer. Whatever you need, God's got it. Amen. And not only does he have it, he's willing to share it with you. Amen. And the Bible said this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul got on board that coastal freighter, 276 souls. And every one of them, including Paul, would have lost their lives had Jesus not spared them. But here as the story goes, and the main point that I want you to see, they lost all hope. All hope of being saved was lost. The storm was so bad. They were in a storm so bad that all hope of being saved was gone. Now, I don't know about you, my brother and sister. I don't know what kind of storms you face. You may be facing a storm right now. And sometimes, you know, you may be sitting here or listening some other way, some other venue, and you may be facing a storm of enormous proportion. But I came to tell you tonight that your storm is not greater than your Savior. I said your storm is not greater than your God. I said, if you'll look to him and stop concentrating on that storm, he'll set you free. He'll deliver you. He'll get you through that storm. Amen. Somebody said, well, it looked like I'm going down for my last time. Not with Jesus on board your ship. I said, Peter tried. It looked like Peter was going down his last time. He said, Jesus, help me. Jesus reached down and grabbed him, pulled him up. They walked back to the boat together. I said, he will not fail you. He will not leave you. Hebrews 13:5, God said, look, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I said, he's a delivering Savior. And you may be in trouble tonight, but I came to remind you, Jesus is your answer. He is your Savior. He is your deliverer. Young man asked me one night, years and years ago, more than 10 years ago, I'd got done preaching. He came up, to the crowd. A few people were shaking my hand. He came down after the sermon and said, what about me, preacher? He said, I've been listening, sitting on the back listening to you. Tomorrow I'm going to surrender myself to a judge. I did something wrong. My lawyer told me I'm going to get 10 years. He said, this is what he told me. He said, the lawyer told me if the judge gives you 10 years, he had mercy on you. My lawyer told me, when you come to court, be prepared to surrender yourself. He said, what about me, preacher? I said, I don't know what's going to happen to you down there, but I do know this. Keep the switch of faith turned on, and if they put you in jail, live for Jesus. Be the strongest Christian there is in that jail. I'm not going to sit here and promise you. I told him, I don't know what's going to happen when you get to the court. I don't know what you did. What's going to happen down there. But I know this, Jesus is alive. And he'll help you in the jail. He'll help you out of the jail. He'll help you under the jail. He'll help you on top of the jail. And I said, if they put you in jail, live for Christ. Live for Jesus. Be the strongest witness that you can be. And if they set you free, then live for Jesus. Live for Christ. Be the strongest Christian you can be. Saw him 3 years after that sermon. I didn't see him anymore. Saw him 3 years after that sermon. He said, I was there. I came down and saw you that day after your sermon. He said, I went down there to the judge. The judge said, I don't know why I'm going to do this. Why am I letting you go? He said, but if you do anything, he said, I will put you under this jail. If you just barely breathe, he said, I'm going to put you on probation. Snap the gavel and let him go. What are you saying? You say Jesus is going to deliver. I told him, look, if you put you in jail, serve Jesus in the jail. Too many people are not willing to serve the Lord. If the outcome don't come out the way they think it's going to come out, then they don't want to serve the Lord no more. Now, that's not Bible commitment. I said, that's not Bible commitment. I said, whether come hell or high water, we need to serve the Lord with everything we got, wherever we are. We need to serve him fully and completely and without compromise. I wish I had one amen in this place. And Paul was on board this ship, and man, it did not look good. And he tried. He said this. Listen, Paul said, he said this, and I want you to remember this one thing, this one scripture from this text, is verse 10 of Acts 27.
because it says, he said to them, men, I perceive that this voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo of the ship, but also of our lives. We know this, that storm got so bad that for 14 days, they didn't eat a thing. That's a storm. When your storm affect your eating habits, you know you in a storm. If your storm affect your sleeping habits, you know you in a storm. Paul said before they left, I perceive there's going to be trouble. He said, I perceive something's not going to go right. How did he know? He's a prisoner on board that ship. Nobody's listening to him. He had no clout. He had no reputation. He had no authority. There was nobody listening to him. They summarily dismissed what he said. As quickly as the words came out of his mouth, they dismissed him and what he said. He got on the ship and said, I perceive this is not going to go well. We shouldn't leave Fair Havens. But the Bible says they took a majority vote, a majority opinion, and that the captain of the ship and the pilot of the ship, the owner, they decided to listen to the majority, and they dismissed what Paul said. And so they went out, and it didn't take long, and they had a south wind blow, and they thought, oh, see that now south wind is blowing? So we don't have to listen to that preacher. And so they set out, and then a violent wind came right after that, blew them hundreds of miles off course. But how did he know? He got that from the Holy Ghost. He knew from the Holy Ghost on the inside of him that it wasn't going to go well. Your perception in the midst of whatever storm you face is critically important. Let me say this to you. You're going through a storm, you've got to make sure you mark time out of your schedule, push back on your schedule, make sure you take time to pray. Get yourself in a position to hear. So often, a storm comes up, and we don't get in a position to hear the Lord. And because we don't get ourselves in a position to hear, spiritually I'm talking about, I'm not talking about up here. This is where we usually go, up here. Out here and up here. So we usually go up and out. We're looking for answers out here. Is there an anointed preacher? Is there someone who can tell me what to do? Is there someone who sounds anointed or looks anointed? Let me tell you this, everybody who sounds anointed ain't always anointed. And everybody who look anointed ain't always anointed. But the Bible says there's an unction and anointing on the inside of every believer, and the Holy Ghost will teach you. He will show you what to do on the inside of you. Amen. I said, I wish I had one amen. Amen. Paul perceived, he said, I perceive this is not going to go well. God was showing him something. God was showing him, you're about to be in a storm. I perceive it's not going to go. And they just dismissed him, and they got into such a violent storm. And then later in the voyage, when they were just about, all hope was gone, they were just about dead. The ship was just about to crack. An angel stood by Paul and said, fear not. The God you serve and the God to whom you belong, he's a deliverer, and he has spared you. And not only has he spared you, he spared all 276 souls on board this boat. And tell everybody to stay on board the boat. And God's going to spare them. And that's exactly. And Paul stood up and said, the God whom I serve, he said, you should have listened to me back then before we left. But the God I serve and the God to whom I belong, he's promised me that we're coming through this storm. And he said, I believe it's going to be just as it was spoken to me. Let me tell you. If you're going through a storm, God's got a rhema word for you. Stop looking outside. Stop looking to other people. Stop listening outside with natural ears and things. And stop doing that. Look inwardly. Paul knew, he was able to perceive because he was following the inward witness. The reason he knew there was danger, when there was a calm wind, he could tell there's danger. When there's a beautiful boat, he can tell there's danger. There's hundreds of people just happy to sail. He can tell there's danger. How did he know it? He was following the inward witness. Look real quick. I'm rounding third. You don't know it. I'm rounding third. I'm going to slide headlong into home tonight. Romans 8:14. You know that scripture. Real quick. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:16. Look. 8:14 says this. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God. That's what he wants to do. How did Paul know? How did he perceive that? He was being led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God lead you, my friend? He leads you in your spirit. Now, there are people today who are listening for voices, who are asking for things outside the will of God and what God has stated he would do. Listen, God can move any way he wants. He can move super. Thank God our God is an awesome. He's an awesome God. He's a miracle working God. Amen. But he told you and I as believers to follow our spirit. He didn't tell us to run around chasing people. He didn't tell us to run around listening for voices. And let me tell you this, whatever he gives you in his spirit will never conflict with what's already in his word. And if you think you got something in your spirit that is inconsistent with this word, then change what you're saying. Change what you're believing in your spirit. Because what's in your spirit is wrong. And so Romans 8 and 16, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. Where does God bear witness with you? Down in your spirit. Somebody said, well, I already know that. You may know that. That don't mean you're following that. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to follow it. But if you're going through a storm tonight, I want to redirect you to your own spirit. And if you'll pray first, get yourself in a position to hear. Get yourself in a position to hear. Pray. Take time in the word. Take time in worship. Take time to push away. Push away. Get away from your storm. Get away from what you're looking at. Take time to pray. Take time to get into God's presence. Put yourself in a position to hear. What's going to happen next is you're going to perceive, just like Paul. You're going to start perceiving things. You're going to start perceiving what you should do. You're going to start perceiving who you can trust. You're going to start perceiving what direction to go in. You're going to start perceiving things, and it'll be consistent with Scripture. And when you check it all out, it'll all line up. You can connect the dots. I said, amen. I said, when God tells you something, you can connect the dots. There's the proof of the pudding's in the eating when God tells you. It'll all come out just like he said. And so you've got to pray. And if you'll pray, if you get yourself in a position here, you're going to start perceiving. You understand what I'm saying? Now listen, once you start perceiving, then you have to obey the Lord. But then once you perceive something, you're going to have to persevere. There's always that time. They had 14 days with no food. Paul had to persevere. I bet you he was down there saying, I'm going to live and not die. God promised me I was going to Caesar. I am not going to die. He was quoting scripture down there at the bottom of that boat. Once you pray, you're going to perceive. Once you perceive, you're going to have to persevere. There's going to be a test of your faith. You will have to persevere. To persevere, I mean walk by faith, not by sight. Persevere is where you don't have feelings. You can't rely on your feelings. You're relying on the mighty word of God, relying on what God said, relying on what God told you through that word. You're standing on the word, standing on the word. When you persevere, you're standing on the word. A feeling can come, that's all right. But if the feeling line up with the word, that's all right. If the feeling don't line up with the word, I don't need that feeling. I got something stronger than a feeling. I got the mighty word of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not God's word. His word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. His word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. There's nothing like the mighty word of God dripping with anointing. Pray. Then you're going to perceive. Then you're going to have to persevere. Finally, you're going to have to prevail. You will prevail. Pray. Perceive. Persevere. You will prevail. You know why? The greater one's in you. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. You know why? Because he has made you and I in Christ to be overwhelming conquerors in the name of Jesus. I said, if you'll pray first, get yourself in a position to hear, you're going to start to perceive what to do. You won't have to run to a man. You won't have to run to a woman. You won't have to depend on somebody else to tell you what God is saying to you. You'll know it down on the inside, down on the inside. Hey, he'll bring you through that storm. I said, he'll bring you through. You'll feel something strap on you in the spirit. You'll say, what's that? He'll say, that's the wings of an eagle. Take flight. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. If you'll pray, you're going to perceive. If you'll perceive, you're going to have to persevere. Whether a feeling comes or not, if you persevere, you will prevail. God will guide you right through the storm. Father, we've endeavored in this time we've had now to share what you've laid on our heart for your people. And we know that people are going through, but oh, Father, you're showing them what to do. And we know down in Proverbs 20:27, it says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And we know that down on the inside, you've got their answer on the inside. And so thank you for leading and guiding your people tonight. Thank you for helping everyone in this place. And then, Father, we know, hallelujah, that there are some who know the way of the Lord. They know the goodness of the Lord. They have called on the name of the Lord. And yet tonight, they're not walking with the Lord. And as it says in 1 Timothy 1:19, they've been shipwrecked in their faith. And so, Father, we pray for them tonight. Oh, that they'll do the right thing. Oh, that they won't pridefully sit down in a storm-tossed ship of indecision, of stubbornness. Oh, but that they'll listen to you. They'll respond. Right now, they're in a position to hear. And someone right here in this place, they hear you tugging on them. They hear you're talking to them. You're telling them how you love them. You're telling them how you want to straighten out that mess. Oh, but you're calling them to repentance. You're calling them to repentance. And so in Jesus' name, thank you for setting captives free tonight with every head bowed. Listen, every eye is closed. You're in this place tonight. Ushers, help me. Every other head is bowed. Every eye is closed. You're in this place tonight. And you say, brother, you're talking to me. The Lord's dealing with me. And it seems a little scary. But I want to come home. I want to make it right. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. If I see your hand, I know I'm going to pray for you. And we know you're being honest with the Lord. Let me see your hand here. I'm going to make it right. Thank you. Thank you. See your hand. Thank you. You say, the Lord's tugging at my heart. I know he's trying to get my attention. Yeah, but now that he's got your attention, listen, you're going to have to obey him. You're going to have to obey him. He's calling you to repentance. And this is not a condemning. We're not a jury. We're a family in God. We love you. And this walk of repentance we've all taken. So we don't want you to feel condemned. You should feel loved in this place. Let me see your hand. Pray for me. I know I'm not living right. I know what it means to live right, but I know I'm not. I want Jesus to set me free. I want to be set free. Going in the wrong direction. You may be here, maybe you never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to be your Savior and Lord. Tonight is your night. You say, brother, I want prayer. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. Let me see your hand in this place tonight. Let me see your hand. Amen. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. All right, listen, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. We love you. We love you. And we're so, we know God's going to touch you right here tonight. I mean tonight. He's going to touch you tonight. And what I want you to do is I want you just to, I'm going to count to three, and I want you just to stand up on your feet boldly. When I get to three, boldly stand on your feet. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about who's looking at you. Every head is bowed in this place. I want you to bolt. One, I want you to get ready. God's going to set you free. Jesus is alive. He's alive. And the good news, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He's not condemning you. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He's loving you to repentance. Two, I want you to get ready now. Your life is never going to be the same. Your life's never going to be the same. Three, stand right up on your feet. Stand right up right now on your feet. That's right. Stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up. Just boldly. That's right. That's right. Just boldly stand up on your feet. That's right. That's right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you just to step out in the aisle and come down here. Come out in the aisle. Come right down here. God's going to touch you tonight. He's going to help you. He's going to just boldly just come right down here. He's going to help you. He's going to change you right now tonight. Hallelujah. Just come right here. God's going to help you. He's going to touch you. Praise God. God sees you. Just turn and face me. Just turn and face me. There you go. God sees you. He sees those tears, man. God's going to help you tonight. He's going to help you tonight. Stay right here. Somebody else now. You know God's dealing with you too. The Lord loves you. But you want his help, but you don't want to obey him. And you're saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But you refuse to obey him. And really, you're just sitting there in pride. Come on, get up out of your seat. Come on down here and let him help you. You know what you're going to find out? He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Praise God. Tell me your name.
Mike.
Mike. Yes. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Is that what you're down here for?
Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to say this prayer after me. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, he keeps his promises. And he said this, if we'll pray and ask him to come in, if we'll be sincere, that he'll do it. That he'll forgive our sins, he'll come into our life, and he'll change us and make us the person he wants us to be. And he's going to do that for you tonight. Are you ready?
Yes,
Okay, you say this right after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me whole. And make me the man you want me to be. And I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to live for you. With everything I have. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Now,
based on your word, it doesn't matter what I feel. You've honored my prayer. You've come into my heart. And my whole world is going to change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you and honor you and bless you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for blessing him now. Thank you for touching him and blessing him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's that smile on your face? Look at that smile. Praise God. He's got some free material for you. This is called. He's just going to keep this second. Give you some free material. Come here for a second. Give Michael a big hand. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet tonight. Stand on your feet. You can do better than that. Listen, let's clap for Michael first. Encourage him. Encourage him. Come on, show your love. Now lift your hand to the Lord. Lift your hand to the Lord. Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. Thank you for Michael tonight. Thank you that his whole world, his whole life is changing tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for using Brother Paul, those prayer room workers back there. May your mighty power fall on them. All of your blessings and benefits in Christ, including the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. May Michael's life change tonight. May the power of God continue to descend on him. And Father, make him, oh, Father God, the gifts that you've placed in him now, make him the person you want him to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many glad would see that when one person comes to Christ? You know, the Bible says there's joy all over heaven when just one person repents. Joy all over heaven. So if there ain't joy all over your heart, something wrong with you. You need to come down here. Let me pray for you. Amen. When someone comes to Christ like that, should produce joy. Oh man, those hot tears he cried, and then the joy. Glory to God. There's only one person who can do that. There's only one person who can change a life like that. His name is Jesus. I said Jesus is alive. He's saving people. He's changing people. He's healing people. He's delivering. Hey! He's delivering people. Glory be to God. Ah! No, don't start. We better go. We better go. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we have any prayer workers that are still here, come on down. Somebody want prayer for something? Want prayer for something? Come on down here. And these anointed men and women pray for you. Help you, agree with you in prayer. They're not here to counsel you, but they will pray with you in Jesus' name. You want prayer for something, you come on forward. Let's remember, let's pray for our pastors. They just got back and they're facing busy. You know how it is when you come back from vacation? Everything been waiting on you. Stuff been stacked up waiting on you to get back, you know. Everybody want to talk to you. They're facing a week like that. So pray for them. Pray for God's grace on them. And as they're making decisions and have so many things to do, pray the grace of God on them. Don't forget, as Brother Marvin said, look, let's continue to give toward Pastor's birthday. And then be here Wednesday night. Pastor will be preaching Hour of Power. And you won't want to miss that. So wherever you've come from, however you've viewed, we thank you for being here tonight. If it was, in fact, your first time, and we know we had several first-time guests tonight, listen, we want to thank you for coming, and we want you to go immediately with our connection team workers. Why? Because we're going to give you a good gift. The gift that Pastor Marvin was talking about, we're going to give you that good gift right now. Now, they're not going to keep you a long time. They're just going to keep you long enough to shake your hand and give you that good gift. Thank you for coming. So if you would go with them right now, now let us applaud for all these. It's their first time tonight. Show your love for them. Now we'll just give them a moment to get out. Praise God. Hallelujah. While we're giving them a moment to go out, I got a 10-point sermon I can go through real quick while we're going through the night. I just messing with you. Just messing with you. No. All right. Well, God is good. Amen. You be here Wednesday night. I think we're good. I think they're clear enough. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time. God bless you.